Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 38, chapter entitled The Kuru's Arrival in Vrindavan, text number 8. Yad
Arachitam
Brahma Bhavadibi Surai Shriya Cha Devya Munibi Sasa Sasa Twatai Go charana yanu charaish.
Go charana yanu charaish.
Charad.
Charad.
Vane.
Vane.
Yad.
Yad.
Gopikanam.
Gopikanam.
Kucha.
Kucha.
Kunkumankitam.
Kunkumankitam.
Yad architam brahma bhavadi visurai. Yad architam brahma bhavadi visurai. Shriya cha devya munibhi sasatvatai. Shriya cha devya munibhi sasatvatai. Go charana yanu charais charadvane. Go charana yanu charais charadvane. Yad gopikanam kucha kunkumankitam. Yad gopikanam kucha kunkumankitam. Yad arshans by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Those lotus feet are worshipped by Brahma, Shiva, and all the other demigods, by the goddess of fortune, and also by the great sages and Vaishnavas. Upon those lotus feet, the Lord walks about the forest while herding the cows with his companions. And those feet are smeared with the kunkum from the gopis' breasts. Translation responsibly. Those lotus feet are worshipped by Brahma,
Shiva,
and all the other demigods,
by
the goddess of fortune, and also by the great sages and Vaishnavas. Upon those lotus feet, the Lord walks about the forest while herding the cows with his companions. And those feet are smeared with the kunkum from the gopis' breasts. Om Gyan Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swabhidantikam Vancha Kaupatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanando Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So Akrura is entering into Vrindavan. And as he enters into the holy dharma, he is meditating on Krishna's pastimes. Mm. Prabhupada said, "You cannot buy a ticket to go to Vrindavan. Mm. You can't get there just by buying a ticket. It doesn't work like that. You may physically be in Vrindavan, but in your consciousness, you may be in Maya, not Yoga Maya." Right? Mahamaya. So you can be physically in the holy dharm, just like you can be physically in the temple. You can be physically right in front of Radha Ballabha or Gaur-Nitai or Jagannath Balaram and Subhadra. You can even be offering the aarti to them. You can be even dressing them or bathing them. You can be directly touching the body of the Lord, yet your consciousness can be somewhere else. So you can't just enter into the spiritual world by physically trying to go there. Right? We have to change our consciousness. Right? That's why Prabhupada calls this movement, the Hare Krishna movement, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because when one's consciousness becomes changed from meditation on Maya, or matter, the material energy, to meditation on Krishna, then one can begin to approach the spiritual world. Right? That is the process of going to the spiritual world. So, Akrura is showing us the example of how to enter into Vrindavan, how to approach Vrindavan. One must approach Vrindavan by going there first in one's consciousness. Right? It means one has to remember Krishna's pastimes. If one's mind is not meditating on Krishna's pastimes, then you cannot enter into Vrindavan. Right? That's why the principal way of becoming Krishna conscious is Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. The goal of Krishna consciousness is to always remember Krishna and never forget him. But in order to never forget Krishna and always remember Krishna, one has to Shravanam Kirtanam, then Vishnu Smaranam will come. Then one will be able to remember Krishna. One has to absorb one's consciousness in hearing and chanting about Krishna. Because hearing and chanting about Krishna is non-different from Krishna. Just like it says about the holy name, Abhinitva Nama Nama No. There's no difference between the name of Krishna and Krishna himself, the person who's being referred to. There's no difference. So similarly, when we hear about the pastimes of Krishna, it is as good as associating directly with Krishna. And by absorbing our minds and constantly hearing and remembering and chanting about Krishna, then we can always remember Krishna. Then we can enter into the consciousness of the holy Dharma. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya gives the instruction within the Shikshastika, Chunarapi sunichena, torodapi sihishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniyaha sadahari. This is the goal. The goal of Krishna consciousness is kirtaniyaha sadahari. Sada means to always hear and chant about Krishna. Constantly. Without deviation in one's consciousness. So that is the way to become fully Krishna conscious. One must be kirtaniyaha sadahari, always absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna. Now, in order to always hear and chant about Krishna, Lord Chaitanya says, Trinadapi sunichena, torodapi sihishnuna, amanina, manadena. Right? These four elements are there. One must be more tolerant than a tree. So, in order to practice Krishna consciousness, remembering Krishna, you have to tolerate. Because it means that Maya will try to deviate your consciousness from remembrance of Krishna continuously. Just like Gaurmandala Bhumi Prabhu was mentioning the other day, one devotee was saying to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I'm feeling very ecstatic in Krishna's service. I'm feeling very blissful in Krishna's service. And Prabhupada says, that just means that Maya is rolling her sleeves up. If you're going well in Krishna consciousness, you can be sure that Maya will test you very soon. Right? If you're going through a good period, it means that Maya is just getting ready to test you. So, this is why Lord Chaitanya says, tolerate. Right? Like a tree. Because you have to understand, Maya will continuously come and try to test us and deviate our consciousness from Krishna consciousness, and we have to learn to tolerate all of the allurements that Maya will try to deviate us with. Just like one time, one devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I am having so much disturbance from sex desire. Prabhupada would call sex desire, or Mr. Lust, Prabhupada said, Mr. Lust is public enemy number one. Right? It's not Osama bin Laden or George Bush. No, neither of them are public enemy number one. It is Mr. Lust. It is calm. Right? So because of that lust within the consciousness, that is the greatest enemy of the conditioned soul. the desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. So therefore, one devotee said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I'm having great difficulty with sex desire. What should I do?" And Prabhupada said, "Grit your teeth and bear it. Because it will come and go. That's the nature of the material world. It will come and it will go. Matra spashas tu kunteya shitoshna shuka dukkha daha agama payinonichas tam titikshaswa bharata." It says within the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita that just like summer and winter come and go, and you can't do anything about it. That's just the nature of the material world. So similarly, material desires will come and go. When you're trying to purify your heart by chanting Hare Krishna and performing devotional service, material desires will rise up in the consciousness. But one should not let them distract one. Or one should not let them deviate one from the path of Krishna bhakti. But one should be very determined and just tolerate these things. Right? Okay, I have sex desire, tolerate it. Right? It will go away. Right? It always does. It comes and then it goes. That's the nature of the material desires. So you just fix your mind on Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya says you must tolerate. Then, one should be more humble than a blade of grass. Right? How can you be more humble than grass? Right? How is it possible to be even more humble than a blade of grass? Like that. Because Lord Chaitanya was giving the example that just when we are, just like when we step on a blade of grass, the blade of grass does not protest. Right? You never hear the blade of grass complaining. How come I always get stepped on around here? Right? How come you guys are always treating me like a lowly creature? So the blade of grass never complains. So we must become more humble than a blade of grass. Because it means that the blade of grass will be stepped upon, but then he will come up again. But the nature of a pure Vaishnava, even if he is stepped upon, he doesn't respond in any way. That is pure Vaishnava. That is pure devotional service. And Lord Chaitanya says you have to have this consciousness of this level of humility to constantly chant the holy name of the Lord. Just like one time, devotees wanted to put a picture on the wall behind Prabhupada's asana. So they said to Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, can you please move so that we can place the picture behind you on the asana?" Like that. And Prabhupada said, "You can step on my head for Krishna's service." That is the consciousness of the pure Vaishnava. Even he may be insulted, even may he be ridiculed like that, but he does not try to react. He does not come up. Even more humble than a blade of grass. Right? So Lord Chaitanya says that if you want to chant the holy name constantly, then you have to enter into this state of consciousness. One time Prabhupada was in Paris and there were students who were... Prabhupada had given a lecture and then these students were... arguing with Prabhupada. They're very argumentative, just like when Prabhupada came to La Trobe Uni. We saw the video. And Prabhupada was trying to speak, right? And the students were speaking over Prabhupada. Right? And Madhu Dweeza took the microphone and he said, "This is not even, you know, you're not, he is coming here, Prabhupada, this Swami is coming here like a gentleman, and you don't even have the common decency to sit here and listen patiently and quietly and respectfully." Like that. So Prabhupada had given a lecture within Paris to the students, and the students are very argumentative at the end with Prabhupada. They're arguing with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada during the lecture he was speaking about class divisions, right? He was saying sometimes Prabhupada would use this terminology. He'd say first class, second class, third class, fourth class when he was speaking about the Varnashram system. So he wasn't speaking in a derogatory way. It wasn't that he was trying to put down, you know, those who are less than first class. But at the end of the lecture, then one of the students challenged Prabhupada and he said, "Then which class are you?" And Prabhupada said, "I'm fifth class. I'm the servant of all the others." Right? So that is more humble than a blade of grass. Right? Even when he's attacked, still he stays low. Right? And does not. Another time Prabhupada was in waiting for the Ratha Yatra, I think it was in La Trobe Street in the city. When the Ratha Yatra was coming down the hill, and Prabhupada was waiting in the car, waiting for the Ratha Yatra to come, so he would get out of the car and join the Ratha Yatra halfway through. And then there were some Christian fundamentalist fanatics who were trying to protest and disrupt the Ratha Yatra festival. So they had banners and they had signs and they were shouting slogans and like this, trying to disrupt the Ratha Yatra. So some of them spotted Srila Prabhupada and they came over, and Prabhupada was in the car with three or four devotees. And they came over to the side of the car and they began hurling abuse at Srila Prabhupada. Right? Very yelling at him and, you know, chastising, saying this is a cult and you are a cult leader and yelling like that. And Prabhupada just kept looking forward. Completely transcendental, completely unaffected, not even slightly disturbed. And his disciples, who were young devotees in their 20s, they felt like getting out of the car and asking these Christians to please move on. Right? But they didn't. They didn't do anything. They were waiting for Prabhupada's signal. So Prabhupada, he just totally tolerated. Complete tolerance. Like, without even being disturbed, without even relating to the external situation, even slightly. He just kept meditating upon Krishna. And then after 3 or 4 minutes, they got frustrated and they all walked away. They just left. So this is the point that Lord Chaitanya is saying, be tolerant, right, and be humble. Right? Whatever the material energy will throw at you and try to distract you with in devotional service, you just tolerate that and you continue to chant, Kirtaniya ha sadahari. Then Lord Chaitanya says there are two more items. He says there is amanina and manadena, right? Being free from false prestige, right? Means not desiring respect for yourself, right? This is how to continuously chant the holy name of the Lord, right? Or constantly chant the holy name of the Lord. One must be in the consciousness where he's not desiring respect for oneself, not even subtly. Right? That has to be passed on immediately. Within the consciousness, when we do some service, immediately, because of our conditioned nature and the desire for pratishtha, or the desire for adoration from others, immediately when we do some service, in our minds, we begin to think, who will give me the accolades for this? Right? Who will give me the credit for this? Right? Who will give me glorification for this? Immediately that comes into our consciousness, right? As soon as we do some significant service, right? But the consciousness of the pure Vaishnava is just like Srila Prabhupada exemplified, that whenever someone glorified Srila Prabhupada, what did he do?
He glorified the spiritual master.
Immediately it passed the credit to Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur. He would not keep it for himself. Immediately passed it on to Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur and Krishna. Like that. That was his consciousness. Never took the credit for himself. So even in our mind, even subtly, we have to develop this consciousness if we want to chant continuously, if we want our devotional service to be uninterrupted towards Krishna. It means that even in our mind, right, when we do some service for Krishna, if some thought of pride comes within the mind and we're thinking that I want to take some false prestige for myself, immediately you just pass that on to the spiritual master. If you can do that, then you can constantly chant. Otherwise you won't be able to constantly chant, because while you're supposed to be chanting, you're actually thinking, oh, I wonder who's going to glorify me for this. That's not constantly chanting, right? So you've already broken the continuity of your service. And then out of the four items, being more humble than a blade of grass, being more tolerant than a tree, being free from false prestige, the most important of the four, and the key or the essential feature of the four, which will naturally manifest the others and also naturally manifest the ability to always chant, is to offer all respect to others. Right? Be really willing to give all respect to anyone. Right? That is a very elevated stage of consciousness, and you'll see that Srila Prabhupada completely embodied that consciousness. Right? Able to offer all respect to anyone. This is also, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan are also glorified for this point by Srinivasacharya, right? They were dear to the ruffians, the dira and the adira, right? The ruffians and the gentlemen, those who were well-behaved and very pious personalities, and also those who were not pious personalities, they were very dear to both. Why were they very dear to both? Right? Because both categories were very dear to them. Just like one time the devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, everyone likes you. And Prabhupada said, yes, because I like everyone. That's the consciousness of a pure devotee. So he's willing to offer all respect to others. Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur is also noted for this point, that whoever came to his house, although he was a very powerful person in the British government, and he was a court magistrate and a very prominent personality and the head of the Jagannath Puri temple, and he was a very well-known person in society, said that whoever came to his house, whether he was an aristocratic person or whether he was just a common beggar, was treated with all respect by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So this is the most important element of the consciousness if one wants to continuously chant the holy name, be undeviated. If you can get into that, and that's what the entire Krishna consciousness process is about. Right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defines the constitutional position of the jiva as jivera svarupahoy krishnera nityadas. Right? Everyone is Krishna's eternal servant. That is our constitutional nature. And Lord Chaitanya even takes it further, or even gives it more depth, when he says, Gopi Bhatu Pada Kamalayo Dasa Das Anu Dasa. Right? We're not just Krishna's servant. We're the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, who is the master of the gopis. That is the mood of a pure devotee of Krishna. And if you want to chant the holy name of Krishna continuously, then you have to manifest this consciousness. You have to evolve this consciousness. We have to work on this consciousness. So Akrura was coming into Vrindavan, and he was absorbing himself in remembering Krishna's pastimes. And as we said at the beginning of the class, you can't go to Vrindavan, as Prabhupada says, by getting a train ticket or a airline ticket. Right? That's not how you get to Vrindavan. You have to change your consciousness. Just like that Danadas Swami was telling us one story, that he went to Mathura, and then he was coming back on Mathura to Vrindavan on the train. What is the train call from Mathura to Vrindavan? The Radharani Express. So if you go from Mathura to Vrindavan, you get the Radharani. So he had come from Delhi on the train, and then when he got to Mathura, then he had to quickly run to get the Radharani Express. So he jumped on the Radharani Express and he got the train to Vrindavan. But because he had to go very quickly, he didn't have time to buy a ticket. So then he got to Vrindavan and he was walking through the gate, and he went up to the ticket inspector. And he said, sir, I'm very sorry, I did not buy a ticket. I do not have a ticket to come from Mathura to Vrindavan. And the ticket inspector said, you don't need a ticket, you just have to chant Jai Radhe. So this is how you enter into Vrindavan. Right? Just like Prabhupada says, everyone in Vrindavan, they don't chant Hare Krishna. Everyone says Rati Rati, Rati Rati. Right? Wherever you go, the rickshaw wallahs. Right? You say, please take me to Lo Bazaar. Rati. Right? You sit on the back. That's like, everyone just says Rati Rati. Even one time Prana told me, Prana went to Vrindavan and he had his glasses, and his glasses broke when he was in Vrindavan, so he needed a new set of glasses. So he went to the optometrist in Vrindavan, down in Lo Bazaar. The optometrist gave him the glasses, and he said, you can see? And he said, yeah. He said, you can read what's there on the wall? And he said, yeah. And then Prana said, isn't there any test? You know, you're supposed to do some test. And he goes, you can see? And he said, yeah. And he said, right here. That was it. So that is Vrindavan. Right? If you want to go to Vrindavan, you have to simplify your life, simplify your consciousness. And you simply have to meditate on the Lord and the Lord's pastimes and his associates. And this is how to enter into Sri Vrindavan Dham. Otherwise you can't enter into Vrindavan Dham. So Akrura is going there, but what is Akrura doing while he's entering Vrindavan? He's meditating on the pastimes of Krishna. Right? And he's meditating on specifically the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out in his commentary that Akrura is actually in Dasya Ras. Right? He's not a bridge bussy. Right? He's from Dwarka. He's one of the Yadu dynasty. So he is in Dasya Ras. But still, he is meditating on Krishna's pastimes with the gopis and Madhurya Ras. Right? But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains this is just like the parents will see their son and his wife, or his fiancée, not fiancée in the Vedic system, but his wife, and they'll be associating together and they'll take pleasure in the conjugal relationship of the son and the wife, showing affection to each other. So similarly, Akrura, because he's Krishna's uncle, because he's older, then he's coming to Vrindavan, he's meditating on Krishna with the gopis, but not that he is in Madhurya Ras, but he is thinking from the platform of Dasharas how nice it is that Krishna has this beautiful relationship with the gopis of Vrindavan. So the point is, he is able to enter Vrindavan correctly because he's in the consciousness of remembering Krishna's pastimes and being in the mood of being a pure servant. So it is said that he enters into Vrindavan on what day? It says in the first verse, what day does he enter into Vrindavan? Ekadashi. Yeah, he's entered into Ekadashi in the month of Phalgun, right, which is around Gaur Panim time. Right? So he's entering into Vrindavan on the Ekadashi. And the Acharyas, they glorify the benefits of Ekadashi. Ekadashi is so important that it is mentioned by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when he lists the 64 principal angas of bhakti. It is said that of the 64, the first 20 are the most important, and of the first 20, the first 10 are the most important, and of the first 10, the first 3 are the most important. And of the first three, the first one is the most important. The first one is Guru Pada Shraya. One must take shelter of a guru. Right? This is how devotional service begins. One must take shelter of a spiritual master. But number 10, in the first 10 prominent items of bhakti, the ninth item, is to follow Ekadashi. Right? Ekadashi is considered to be one of the most 10 important items of bhakti. Very important not to break Ekadashi, to follow Ekadashi very strictly. It is mentioned in certain Puranas, I think Brahma Vaivarta Purana and different Puranas, that on the Papa Purush, or the personality of sin personified, one time he was being chased by the chakra of Lord Vishnu around the universe. So sin personified, is a black person, black personality, and he's a personification of sin. Right? Every sinful activity is making up his form. So Lord Vishnu's Sudarshan Chakra is chasing him around the universe to kill him. So finally he ran to Lord Vishnu and he fell at his lotus feet. And he said, please give me protection. And Lord Vishnu said, why should I protect you? Right? It's because of you that all the living entities stay away from me. So then why should I give you protection? And then he said that you are Purna. Now, Purna means you are complete. So it means within your creation, somewhere within the creation of the material world and the spiritual world, somewhere within God's creation, sin has to exist. Because it is part of the complete nature of the creation of God. So it has to exist somewhere. So then, he said, that is true. You have to have somewhere to reside. So I will allow you to reside within grains and beans. Right? On the 11th day of the waxing and the waning moon, known as Ekadashi. So therefore it is very important that devotees do not break Ekadashi. We do not take grains and beans on this day. Because sinful desires may enter into our consciousness, may pollute our consciousness. And we need all the assistance we can get in devotional service going back to Godhead. We don't want to slow our progress down in any way. So therefore it is very necessary for devotees to strictly follow Ekadashi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally asked his mother Sachi, to strictly follow Ekadashi, right? When he was a child, when he was only about 5 years old. So this shows that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very emphatic about devotees following Ekadashi very strictly. I remember when I was in Adelaide a few years back, there were certain devotees and they did not follow Ekadashi. Right, they would not follow. There's one or two I can think of, and they would not follow Ekadashi. And many times we said to those devotees, you should follow Ekadashi, it's very important. And they said, it is not so important, it is not so important. where we saw that those devotees, they were always making politics with the other devotees. Their minds were very disturbed and very agitated, right? And we could see that possibly part of the reason may have been was they were not strictly following the Ekadasi Vrat. Right? It's very important. So Prabhupada mentions within the Nectar of Devotion, within the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that the main purpose of following Ekadasi is that we decrease our bodily necessities and activities, such as eating, right, and sleeping and so forth, and increase our hearing and chanting about Radha and Govinda. Right, that is the actual purpose of Ekadasi. So these places and these times which are connected to Krishna are very auspicious and very important. Just like in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajan, Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu, Bhajana Anukula, Bhajana Anukul. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions within that bhajan, Anukul means things which are favourable to your bhajan, or your remembrance of Krishna. And one of the things he mentions is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings that he becomes ecstatic whenever he visits the pastime places which are connected to Krishna. Whenever he goes to those places which are connected to Krishna's pastimes, he said immediately his hair stand on end. So just like a Krura here is going to Vrindavan, and a Krura is feeling great ecstasy that he has the opportunity to go to a holy place like Vrindavan, like that, or Mayapur or Jagannath Puri. So these places which are connected to Krishna are very auspicious and very favourable for cultivating one's devotional service. And similarly, these titis, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in the bhajan, Madhava Titi. What does Madhava Titi mean?
The day of Krishna.
The day of Krishna, yeah. Or those things which, those times which are specifically connected to Krishna. Those times or places which are connected to Krishna are very auspicious, right? And he says that days like Janmashtami, Madhava Titi means days like Janmashtami or Ekadashi, are very auspicious because they're especially connected to Krishna and they're especially have potency to enable us to absorb ourselves in hearing and chanting and devotional service and connect our consciousness more and more to Krishna. So today is the first day of Kartik, which means that this particular month, right, which is connected to Krishna, is said to be the most auspicious month of the year. It is mentioned in the Kartik Mahatmya that when the Kartik month begins, it is like a window opening up, like to the spiritual world. Just like the holy dharma of Vrindavan, or Mayapur, or Jagannath Puri, they're like locations which immediately allow you to enter into the spiritual world. Right? Same as the embassies. Prabhupada said all of the temples in ISKCON around the world, all the Radha Krishna temples, the Gaudiya Nitaya temples, the Jagannath Balaram Subhadra temples, they are like embassies of the original Dham, the holy Dham itself. So this place, Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir, is like a embassy of the spiritual world. It is like a place where you can go to, and then it's like a portal in which you can enter into the spiritual world. Right? And similarly, these particular times, which especially representing Krishna, are also very auspicious, and they are times that come, and when they come, it's like a window of opportunity to pass through into the spiritual world. Very auspicious. So this month of Kartik is very auspicious. And Rupa Goswami says that the month of Kartik is called Urja Vrat. What does Urja Vrat refer to? Urja. What's that? Yeah, Radharani. It means, Urja means the pastime potencies of Krishna. Personification of the pastime potencies. So Radharani is the personification of Krishna's pastime potency. Right? It's because of her that so many pastimes are enacted with Krishna. Right? So Urja Vrat means taking a vrat, or taking vows, for 1 month, which will give pleasure to Srimati Radharani. And as Prabhupada mentions in the Nectar of Devotion, Srimati Radharani is the personification of Krishna's compassion. So we need all the assistance we can get. If you want to go back to Godhead, it's not an easy task. So you need all the assistance you can get. So by performing devotional service within the month of Kartik, any service that we do is magnified like 1,000 times. any service you do in the month of Kartik, it is magnified 1,000 times. So therefore, in the month of Kartik, we should dedicate our being and our consciousness to just absorbing ourselves in hearing and chanting and serving Krishna. Manmana Baba Mad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskaru. Just engage in devotional activities. And by performing those devotional activities, these are like a window of opportunity to enter closer into the spiritual world. Right? To get Srimati Radharani's personal blessings to enter closer into the spiritual world. So this particular month, within the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, of all the months, I am the month of? Which one? Margashirsha. Right? Which one is Margashirsha? Yeah, November, December. It's the next month. It's the one after Kartik. Right? Margashirsha. Krishna says, of all the months, I am that month. Right? Why is he that month? Because in India, that's when they till the grains. Right, they're planting the grains now, and then they will till the grains like that. So that is considered an auspicious month. Krishna says, of all the months, I am that month. But we know that we chant, before we chant Krishna's name, we chant Hare Krishna. Right? So the month which precedes that month represents Srimati Radharani. And you cannot approach Krishna without getting the blessings of Srimati Radharani. Right? So therefore, in this month, we get the blessings, we are able to come much closer to Krishna than we can by directly trying to approach Krishna in any other way. This month directly represents Srimati Radharani. Therefore, it is very good to perform devotional services this particular month. So, devotees can take vrats. Vrats means vows. Every day for 1 month I will go to Mangalati. Every day for 1 month I will chant one extra round. Every day for 1 month I will chant one chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Every day for 1 month I will circumambulate the temple one time or three times or seven times. Like that. Every day for 1 month, and it can go on and on and on. Right? Devotees will do so many different services for Krishna. Like that. But the point is that we should absorb ourselves in devotional service because it's very auspicious this particular time to perform these devotional activities. And it says especially one should serve Brahmas and Vaishnavas. One should do as much Vaishnava seva as one can during this month. Do devotional seva. And it says that one should especially give in charity, right, to the Vaishnavas, right, to the Brahmanas. Give in charity. Serve the Vaishnavas. Beg for their mercy. Right, get their blessings. Right. And in this way, by the unlimited blessings of the devotees, right, we will make so much advancement in this month of Kartik. It is said that all the service we do, it is magnified thousands of times. So if a devotee just thinks of you kindly in this month, just gives you his blessings just by thinking of you in a kind way, right? That will be magnified thousands of times. And if all the Vaishnavas are thinking of us in a very kind way during the month of Kartik, then everything will be magnified thousands of times. So Krura, he is entering into entering the day of Ekadashi, and it is said that he was so desperate or eager to see Krishna that when he entered into Vrindavan, he even forgot to break his Ekadashi. Right? Normally when we finish Ekadashi, then we take grains to break the Ekadashi. He was so eager to Krishna that he just forgot to do that. All he was absorbed in was going towards Krishna. So Prabhupada, I was reading last night, when Prabhupada is speaking about living in Vrindavan or approaching Vrindavan, just like a Kuru is going into Vrindavan. The point that Prabhupada emphasizes again and again and again is based on the bhajan by Narottama Das Thakur, where he says, Vishayacharya. That if one wants to enter into spiritual consciousness or into Sri Vrindavan, one has to give up Vishayacharya, or the desire to enjoy sense objects. And Prabhupada would emphasize that in terms of residing in Vrindavan in consciousness, one should follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And what was their example that they showed us in their devotional service? The six Goswamis showed us that in order to enter Vrindavan, you have to decrease your attachment to eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That is the consciousness of how to enter into Vrindavan. Just like in the final days when Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, the last 6 months, since about March of 1977 until November when he passed away, Srila Prabhupada was more or less just bedridden in Vrindavan. He left briefly for a few weeks to go to London, but practically the last month of his head in Brisbane. So at that time, said that long ago I gave up mating and defending. And now Krishna has been very merciful to me. I've been praying to Krishna, please allow me to give up eating and sleeping. And Krishna has been very merciful to me and he's allowed me to also give up these things. So this is the consciousness of entering into Vrindavan, our spiritual world. And in the month of Kartik we can concentrate on decreasing our eating, sleeping, our mating, our defending. In other words, our bodily consciousness. Right, and enter more into devotional consciousness, into spiritual consciousness. Right? So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed.
I'm just thinking about the same doing in ecology. How would you crucify like someone aiming in the death, personify being out in the local bread in the pantry, then they wouldn't take that so well? So what's a good way to present that to them?
Well, you have to present things in a personal way. So don't just say it's simple. So don't say it's like there's a black person in your bread. Right? And his nose represents killing brahmanas and his ears represent killing cows and he's like that. No, you don't have to mention anything about it. You just say, like people expect that, just like with the Muslims, at the moment they're performing that month. What is it called?
Ramadan.
It's like that. They're performing Ramadan, they're holding it. So people expect, strict religious people, they perform fastings. So you can say family twice a month, we just don't eat grains. It's just like a religious fast that we observe like that. You don't really have to take it any further because they expect that we're going to do something a little strange considering that, you know, that we wear dresses and all the rest of it already. So you can just present it to them in a very simple way and they should accept it like that. You had a point?
I'm just wondering, when we offer bhoga, then it becomes prasadam, so and prasadam is considered to be pure.
Mm.
So how can we say that the sin personified is in the grains when we've offered it to Krishna and that's then become prasadam and all that you offer?
And then it's like Priya Vrata. Prabhu points out in terms of life worldwide. Just like, you know, prasadam may be sitting around for 3 or 4 days or something like that. So it's become contaminated, it has, you know, bacteria in it, like that. So then devotees will argue, well, it's Mahaprasad, you should honour it, you should eat it, like that. And that's true, it is Mahaprasad, and you could say that. But as Priya Vrata points out, bacteria is not Mahaprasad. So it's probably not wise to eat something that's 3 or 4 days old that's become, you know, contaminated by decomposing. It's decomposing and it's contaminated because that's not common sense. So my understanding is that although it is Mahaprasad, simultaneously the Paparushi is within the grains. So you may get the benefit and purification of any Mahaprasad. You will get the purification of eating the Mahaprasad. I said on the Kodashis, we can serve grains to the non-devotees, like that. That's Prabhupada's instruction. So we do, we serve the grains to the non-devotees and they get purified because they took Mahaprasad, because they're going to eat grains anyway. But Prabhupada was very strict, and not just Prabhupada, it's coming from Mahaprabhu himself, he's very strict about his followers not eating grains on the Ekadashi.
One of the things I noticed is that really the only Shastric reference that Prabhupada gives for not eating grains on a kosher is because Lord Chaitanya instructed his mother.
Mm.
But otherwise, Prabhupada doesn't refer at all ever to the Papa Karush and his friends. You know what I mean?
Well, it's a Veda, it's coming from the Puranas. It's Veda like...
No, I know that, but at least in our mind, I don't know whether we should use that as an example for following the codicil. The Prabhupada certainly didn't use it, and we know that. And you know, we also know that the grains are, you know, it's prasadam. The reason why we don't follow the codicil is not because of the Papa Purusha, but because Lord Chaitanya instructed his mother to follow a codicil, and he also instructed his disciples.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I would, just to balance, counterbalance the point. But so, you know, there's obviously a reason why Mahaprabhu has done the difference. And it would seem.
I don't know what it is. And certainly, that's not the certainly wasn't profit by the Acharyas. Nirupa Goswami and the others don't tell us that that's the reason why.
But, yeah, as I said, because it is, like, I'm not, I haven't. In telling that story, it's not like we've speculated or something. Like, we have quoted, you know, Shastra. It is Shastric. It is Vedic. It is a, you know, it's about, and obviously if it's a pastime relationship to Lord Vishnu, then it's, you know, it's followed by Vaishnavas. It's a valid point for Vaishnavas to follow. Like that. So I don't think it's totally, it doesn't have any merit.
Sometimes in the material world, if you're engaged in business and so on and so forth, then perhaps you should keep abreast of what the current is and so on and so forth, but sometimes you might not. What is the state of that person to then do the ecology the next day, or is it the day after, or is it on Triassic, or was it? Can you explain a little bit on those two points?
Yeah. If not, there's one statement by Prabhupada, and he says that there are rules, and he says there are small rules, which means like there's many rules that we have to follow, like that, like we have to, you know, do archman before we worship the deities and so forth. Prabhupada said there are rules, and he says there are small rules, and if you do not follow them, what is the proof? Then where is the proof that you love Krishna? Prabhupada says that.
Yeah.
So that's why you'll see, like in the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, like Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who established the worship of Radha Raman Dev in Vrindavan. Radha Raman has been worshipped for the last 350 years in Vrindavan, and the oven, which is a cow dung oven which they used to cook all the offerings for Radha Raman, has been for 300 years. And Prabhupada went and saw Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan, the devotees, the pujaris, to go to Radha Raman temple and learn deity worship from them, who are the descendants of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So it's very important to follow the rules, the regulations, and the small rules and regulations. Prabhupada, where is the proof that you love Krishna? For example, it's mentioned in the Archanam Padati, or the Pancharatrika Pradeep. For example, when you offer like oil to Krishna, you say idam suganda tailam, like that, and then you're like. So it's mentioned, Sanatana Goswami mentions Krishna likes these little mantras. Prabhupada said there are rules, there are small rules, and if you don't follow them, there's proof of your love. In the spiritual world, they do all these things. It says in the spiritual world, when they bring an offering to Krishna, they cover it. They cover the offer with very fine silk cloth. So we don't give it to Krishna, everything's raga nuga. You know, we'll give it to Krishna. And it's very particular and very. And Krishna, he appreciates all these little things. So to argue that I won't follow a kodashi, I'll just make up for it once a year. You know, that's a very loose argument like that. And I don't think it's a real indication of one's love for Krishna. And the second question was,
well, if you're missing the Kodashi.
If you're missing the Kodashi.
Just a little bit, just
yeah.
While I was thinking on this. if you mistakenly do eat grains on the Kodashi, and from what you're saying, you're suggesting a thing, but do you counteract that simple reaction, or what is the benefit?
Then there's one time, and then the devotees missed a kodashi. It might have been Prajumna, I think, was the Prabhupada's servant, and he was the pundit. He was known to, he was the one who'd usually tell the devotees, okay, there's a kodashi, there's a kodashi. He forgot to tell everyone. And then after breakfast, everyone ate grains, and then he told him, he said, oh, it's a kodashi like that. So then they went to Prabhupada and they said, like that. And Prabhupada said, then what is the use of his carrying around all these books? if he doesn't even know which day is Ekadashi. He's acting like he's the big pundit amongst all the devotees, but he doesn't even know which day. So Prabhupada said, we will fast tomorrow. Like that. So I've heard, I'm not exactly sure according to the Gaudiya Vaishnava, like the strict tradition, but it's, you're supposed to follow the Dwadashi or the Triodashi. So if I do break, and, you know, I don't break every day, I mean, I'll make a few times I would break. If I do break, then I follow the or the Triodashi.
Is there then an advantage to that, that you can't let them continue?
Well, once again, it comes down to, that's what Prabhupada said to do.
Okay. But then we can surmise from that, the point that Ani Guru was making, is the level of consciousness more than the path, more the consciousness or the connection to Krishna, the austerity that one performs for love of Krishna. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because when Prabhupada comments on Ekadashi and the nectar of devotion, then he says that there's a chance to increase one's hearing and chanting about Radha and Govinda. So that is the principal point. But as I said, that I think that the Path Purush, because it is a Vedic reference, I don't think it has, doesn't have inner, I would say inner, there's no sin within the grains. Now, maybe it wasn't emphasised or so forth, doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Like that, because it seems there's a pastime behind the whole thing.
Okay. Well, I think it's an interesting point that you made about the mood of the mentality of the devotees. If Prabhupada says we're followers of Rupa Goswami, if we don't follow Rupa Goswami, then obviously we're not going to get the benefits that are going to accrue for those who do follow. And as you mentioned, the following of the codicil is high on the list of things that you've got to do. The degree that you follow the previous acharyas is the degree to which is mercy and get an opportunity to make progress in the spiritual life. If a devotee says, it's not important, then, you know, you sort of think, well, are you following Rupa Goswami, or who are you following? And my experience is, you know, when I was a younger devotee, not that I'm, you know, old, but as a younger devotee, I remember times coming home from Sankirtan, going into the cool room, you know, where's the prasadam, seeing a chapati, just like, great, ripping into it, and then realising afterwards, it's a courtesy. So, you know, over time, if you have developed your sadhana and your regulation, then, you know, part of your check means the codicil. You just sort of do it. You know, and it almost sort of comes up like, you know, I know when I walk in the temple in the mornings and I look at the moon, you can tell by the size of the moon that it's getting, you know, it's a really thin little sliver. And then, you know, the codicil is, you know, pretty close. So it then becomes part of your psyche, you know, part of your mentality as a devotee, just to do it. And, you know, I guess, you know, just as a devotee makes advancement, gradually becomes more accustomed to the regulation, then it becomes just natural part of his. So, you know, the only time that you usually break a codicil is when some deal forgets and puts, you know, peas in sake or something. No, it's not your fault, practically speaking, you know, somebody else has to do it. And, you know, my suspicion is that devotees who... I mean, we should encourage people to follow the codicil, but the devotees who are not, then usually you can understand that there's a few other things that they're probably not doing as well. That's what it usually boils down to. Barring mistakes. You know, especially if they're also... If they're saying, you know, I'll follow it on Bhima, you know, so, there's chanting arounds on Bhima Ekadashi as well, which is good. You know, it's pretty, you know, it's important.
Yeah, it's
obviously important. Important, just like Kartik. It's interesting, you know, my realisation on these things is that Prabhupada has sort of given us a formula, a fairly simple formula for all of these things. Even for Kartik, Prabhupada didn't emphasise a lot of things. He said, offer candles, sing the Dhammadharashtakam prayer every day, so that for everyone there's an extra thing that we do, so we don't have to think about, will it be, you know, chant extra rounds, or will it be this, or will it be that, or will it be the other thing. Prabhupada says, no, do this, and it's very practical. And of course, if we meditate on the prayers, then we're automatically thinking of Radharani, of Krishna's pastimes as a child, all the different pastimes that are described in the song. So Prabhupada sort of given us a nice prescription that easily followed by everybody.
Yeah, so that's like the minimum level that Prabhupada gives us.
And then you become, by doing that also, then you become a Rupa Nuga, an authorised Rupa Nuga.
That's like the minimum I gave us. And as devotees have been devotees for a longer period of time, obviously they want to increase. Just like Bhavananda wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada, it might have been 1970 or 72 or something like that. And he said, I'm chanting 25 rounds a day. And Prabhupada, and he was the temple president at that time. He said, I'm chanting 25 rounds every day. And Prabhupada said, This is very good. This should be the example of the leaders. So this is the point I was trying to make, is that like we have the basic level, but obviously as devotees, stay devotees for a period of time, they want to increase their hearing and chanting towards Krishna. And this is a recommend a month to do those activities. Especially because, I like to go to Vrindavan at this time of the year. And when we go to Vrindavan, they put a lot of emphasis, a lot of them chant 64 rounds a day and these kind of services during this month. So, it's as you become a devotee longer and longer, you want to naturally increase your hearing and chanting in order to get closer to Krishna.
But I can't understand how you can do more humbler than the Buddha.
More humble than grass. Yeah, because the example is given when you stand on the grass, it goes down, but then it comes back up again.
Yeah.
But Lord Chaitanya says, be more humble than a blade of grass. So Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they explain that the devotee should be like the grass that's already down. It doesn't even come up again. It even stays there. So that's why Lord Chaitanya says, even more humble than grass.
So,
I mean,
if you spend time on the grass in vain, and then it stands up again.
That's not humble.
So
that's very puffed up grass. Yeah, it should not be humble. Yeah, so it means you should be like Kuch. You know Kuch? Always stays down. Yeah, so you should be like Kuch. Okay, so you become the humble servant of Kuch, and then you'll be perfect in consciousness.
Kuch grass is always lying out flat.
Yeah, offering presences. Kuch Prabhu ki?
I think I'm going to read about that.
Yeah, same example, just a different analogy or a different explanation of it. So. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Srila Prabhupada.